We're going to start with Andrew's dream. So, go for it, Andrew.
Okay, let's see here.
Tell that person to go on mute when you come in, and maybe that'll help.
Sure.
Or pay your phone bill.
Mute worked.
Okay.
Okay.
If that's Marin coming in, email me and let me know that it was you, and then we'll know that it's you.
Well, she's not on there to hear you.
Well, if she's on mute, she can hear us.
Well, I think she went off. But anyway, okay, well, go for it.
Okay.
So let's see. So this is a dream from March the 24th, just before I woke up. I was trying to understand my heritage.
Okay.
Can we do the whole thing or just one line at a time?
Do it one line at a time.
Right on.
Anybody want to deal with this? What are we talking about here?
Where I came from.
Memories?
Is anybody out there?
DNA.
Yep. Yeah, I think we're all saying stuff.
Okay. What are we talking about?
We're talking about my lineage, as an eternal being. Or my heritage as an eternal being. What I've inherited from my... What? How would I say that? I have a picture of, like, the DNA sort of past lives thing. I don't quite know what to call that. Past lives.
Yeah, but did you inherit from your past lives, yes or no?
The answer would be no. I think I pulled forward or drew pieces and parts from.
What does that mean?
That means that it wasn't thrust upon me. I wasn't born into it. It means I, through the way I live my life, have enlivened information from that and brought it into my life today.
What the hell does that mean?
What does that mean? I have no idea how to answer this question.
I'm trying to get you to make a very simple, descriptive, whatever you're talking about, so I can understand it. You say, oh, well, whatever I did, I inherited, or I enlivened it. What the hell does all that shit mean?
I guess it means I live my life. And in living my life the way I do, there are certain images, sensors, memory, affiliations or attractions to what past lives that are present for me, and in how I decide to live.
What does all that mean? Keep talking, and I still don't know what you mean.
Don't know. I don't know how to say this.
That's what I'm trying to get you. It was a purpose of discuss some dreams. What is it all saying? You know, because we're right back to the same thing. We're going to come up in August, and I'm going to speak for 9 days, and nobody has any idea what I'm saying, we're trying to get some practice here, and you're telling me what it is you're saying. Unless somebody knows what he's saying. Patrick, do you know what he's saying? Maybe you can tell me.
No.
Well, then, Andrew?
I think it's just, to me, honestly, I think in a succinct way, it's sort of what I think Patrick said earlier, I'm trying to understand where I come from.
No. I didn't ask you what you're trying to understand or et cetera. You've changed the subject. You said you live your life and this occurs or whatever. What does that mean?
I guess it means that I have a choice as to how I live my life.
No.
Kind of
don't tell me. Describe what that means.
describe what that means.
Yes. Patrick, do you want to describe what you think he means by what he's saying?
No, because between you and he, I lost track of even what he was saying.
Okay. Okay, the line was, I was trying to understand my heritage.
And I asked him what that means. And can you not describe... tell me a Mr. Monk story about what that means. You know, like for instance, we're saying, okay, Mr. Monk is trying to discover his heritage. What does Mr. Monk do? What does that mean?
I guess Mr. Monk looks into, you know, community records and family pictures and talks to relatives to understand the people who came before him.
No, you had already added to this that this was about your eternal being, your eternal self. And thus, therefore, then, if you're going to treat that as the subject of this, as your inheritance from an eternal self, then you ain't going to find that in any records.
True.
Then describe what's going on, or what you think is going on, so that we can understand.
I guess I'm looking at memories and images of past lives that I've awakened to understand my eternal being. See what that tells me about my eternal being.
Andrew, let me see if you can understand what I'm trying to say. And I don't know how to ask you the question. I really don't. Because you're avoiding answering it for some way, or else you don't know any other way to answer it. So let's see if I can do any better.
Okay.
If you are looking at your heritage, can we not say from all the things we've talked about that heritage must be expressed somehow or other in your body, or so you are then following or looking at the lives that are inherent, the previous lives that are inherent in your body that you have access to through the DNA, like the DNA is like a telephone line, that then the lives that are not your heritage, but you can call them up and make them your heritage. In other words, you're creating your heritage at the present time by what life or what lives in one way or another you are selecting to be and live, and what lives you are not calling up or not living. Does that give you a something?
I'm sorry to tell you. I guess the part that's different to me was the looking at my body as a
Well, when you say you were looking at your past lives, how were you looking at those? If what you were doing it with your body, how did your doing bring you any information or any understanding of yourself, except some way through channel or messenger or way? And the only way that, one of the ways, the major way that you have is your body. Why is that a problem?
I don't guess it's a real problem. I just normally, when I think about how I look at my past lives and stuff, I really don't think about my body as a...
I didn't ask you to think about it. You called me up on the telephone. You don't stop and think about your damn cell phone in your ear, do you?
No.
You just use it.
Right.
So I didn't say that you have to think about it. I merely said the DNA of your body then is like a direct line from somewhere in the past to you. And you can use that DNA connection in one way or form or another to call up the past, let's say, lives that you desire. And the ones you call up then become your heritage in a way. It's not that there is a heritage there that you are contacting in that regard. There's an infinite heritage there, and you are assembling yourself by what you call up.
Sounds good. Sounds right. That sounds like what I think of right now.
Okay, but then that's somehow an expression of, what do you mean by that? Really means to describe what you would be doing in order to call up your eternal self, or to discover your heritage, or as your case, your eternal self. Is that okay?
Okay, yes.
Is that okay with you, Karen, Patrick? We got anybody else on here by now?
Maren is on
here.
And muted, she says.
Maren's on, but on mute, that's fine.
Yep, and Sally says she's here and got him.
So, now, that's the incipit. That first line, that expression, is the incipit of the dream. That means this is what the dream is going to talk about. The past that you have selected for yourself. The past is not... there is a past for you, let's call it, and there is also a past that you can select for yourself. In other words, if you default selecting the past you truly desire to be and live today, then you have a, let's call it, a default past.
That's interesting. Okay. Yep.
You okay with that?
Mm-hmm. That explains quite a few things.
So, the question is, are you interested then in discovering who you are, or do your default past? Who you've called up, what you've called up, and assembled for your past, or what your default past may be?
Who I'm calling up. I don't know.
Or who you have called up.
Yep.
No? Okay. Is that okay with you, Patrick and Karen?
I've got a bit of a question here. I'm not sure when you said default past. What's that?
The universe in all things acts, let's call it, this is an abusive word, as a duality. Now, it doesn't mean a dichotomy as opposing each other. It's a duality. And you can live the duality as it occurs, or you can create the past or the future or the present that you truly desire. If you don't make a choice, then that doesn't mean there is no past. It just means then there is a past that is, let's call it, directly locked into your body. And if you don't live yourself outside of your body by your own choices, then you live your body by default. Does that make sense?
It does. Can I ask a question then about what I understand and I see happening with, let's say, some First Nations people? There's a lot that I've met that insist on the known memories past, and they insist on the heritage that they can trace back to their grandfather, their great grandfather, and their great great grandfather. So that would be in a way, that's choice, but it's also kind of default.
That's right. They are. Then you would say, by awakening, they're really not awakening who they want to be. They're trying to awaken, let's say, what they are by default. In other words, they're choosing, but in doing that, they're taking a lot of their choice away from them.
Yeah, they're going on what the local social pressure seems to expect of them.
And that's the same way as our local natives here and Alaska natives and all of that. They are living the same thing over and over and over again.
Okay. I think that really helps me to see what it is that you're talking about. Thanks.
So, in that, then, we're saying, in a sense, that if you don't live who you truly desire to be, you will be what your body wants you to be. Is that okay?
That's okay. I think
so, if in that back, then, there is an anger, an upset, a piss, etc., you'll be stuck with that. And in identifying so clearly with your body, you say, well, that's just naturally me. And so therefore, to struggle against any of those emotions or feelings or actions, it's difficult because you think then that you are working against your natural self. And in a sense, you've made it so natural by not making another choice. That then, yes, you do have the battle. You understand?
Yep.
But once you once you take a step away from that which is, say, normally and naturally you in that regard by default, then you can begin being who you truly desire to be and live. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think I got that. Yep.
Okay. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about who or what Andrew, he's saying now, who or what Andrew has chosen to be as an eternal self. We may find out that this hasn't been a choice, that it may turn out that this is a default choice, but we'll see. Okay, Andrew? Andrew.
No, I said, yeah, okay.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Sorry.
I thought you ran outside and you're answering me from the driveway.
No, you want the next one.
Okay.
So I read my heritage from a long record that looked like bars of music. In parentheses here, I wrote yellow colored with black lines. I don't know if that's pertinent, but so I read my heritage from a long record that looked like bars of music.
Okay.
So I'm looking like, I don't want to get off track from what you've said. So, looking at the DNA is like looking at the bars of music, except that it's like I have this association from a long time ago, early forever living, you said like you can have the genes of, like, say, sickle cell anemia, but you don't have to play them. So I'm thinking of this as being like, well, so all these notes, but what are the ones I've played that have brought forth or from which I've created the person that I'm today, or I've chosen to be today?
So, you buy that, Patrick?
Well, the part about the music being sort of like the DNA code, that part seems to fit.
Does it? I don't think so.
Oh, really?
All right, here's the question.
Yeah?
How does the music and the DNA code fit?
I'm afraid I didn't hear all of that.
You said it seems to fit, that the DNA code and the music, bars of music, seems to fit. Okay, I'm asking you, how do they fit? In what way do they fit? What way does the bars of music seem to represent the DNA code or whatever, or access?
Well, I guess if it was DNA code, Andrew is familiar enough with DNA code, he could have pictured that. Or, you know, the way it's represented in science magazines and so on and so forth, I guess.
Well, wait just a minute now. I just brought that up. He said, oh, really? I don't think you should make that association. What I say doesn't mean anything necessarily about Andrew's dream at all. I was just describing, could you give me a way as to what it is that you mean, what you're talking about? So we now have to say, what then might the bars of music, and there's a reason for why I said what I said, so that you, on the second line now, you can take a second look at this.
Well, what I think of here is, what tune has he played? What tone has he played? Or, and I guess I do, then I also see somebody dancing to a tune.
Okay, that's an interesting picture. Is Andrew dancing to the tune of his heritage, or is he creating the heritage he truly desires?
I would say he's dancing to the tune of his heritage.
Okay. Then we don't know whether his heritage is playing the tune even that Andrew desires, do we?
No, there's nothing in that would indicate that it is as he desires.
So, in the music in that regard, then, could be that he is trying to follow a line of things that sort of harmonize. But we don't know if he harmonized with his past lives, etc. And then you would say, well, gee, that's natural. I feel in rhythm and harmony and pleasant with that. That must be my past life. That's who I am. That's what I am. I'll keep doing it. But maybe that's not really what he desires. Sometimes the thing that
I'm going to say here, I think that the harmonized part is a bit of an add-on, because I know with music we could go there, but I don't really think that's what the line. I don't know that that's actually in the line, is it?
Is it what? Well, all right. Tell me what the image of the music is all about to you.
I'd say what I said earlier. It's the notes that I have played of all the things, you know, of all the, what do you call it, of all that I could have done or written to create my life. The music looks like the notes that I've played.
Okay.
What I have actually written.
Fine. I agree with that. Now the question is, we're back to the same thing. Did you play the notes that seemed normal and natural for you, or did you play the notes that you truly desire?
Well, I mean, I can't answer that question without looking at the dream here. I mean, I think I've always been going for a sense of, you know, it's like I had a feeling or a sense I was trying to match. So I think it's more like, you know, I was trying to go with what I felt like the inner feeling was rather than what I decided I wanted. I thought that if I got that note, it would be, then I'd be on track. So I guess, damn, how'd you come up with that?
You see, we come right back.
Well, fucking, I didn't know that was in there.
You see where we come in that? So we have a tendency to, before we get around to inquiring on any of these things, we live a default life. What feels comfortable? What feels in harmony? What feels best? And at that point, it is the harmony of your body normally and environment, whatever that case may be, and is not nearly necessarily what it is that we truly desire. You live that long enough, play that tune long enough, play those notes and those ways, and they become so natural to you. But the question is always, but is that what you truly desire? You know, I still say
you've got your eye, you've got an eyeball somewhere looking at something else that's not in the lines.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying you always manage to pull something in that I don't read in the line, but it fits when it's explained out. Anyway,
what did I pull in? What did I pull in that doesn't fit in the line?
Well, I didn't. It's not said in the line specifically. The harmony part. I didn't realize until I explained it out how that worked. But
when you're playing it. The notes you played, do you not feel in harmony with the notes you've played?
Right, yes.
That's the only thing I'm saying is then what you've done. But the question is, you can feel in harmony with that, but is that the notes or are those the notes you really desire to play?
I got a question for you. I guess maybe then I don't know what the sense or the feeling that I'm trying to match is, because I guess I'd always assumed it had something to do with, like, promise, the promise that I'd made about who I'd be and how I'd live before I came into this life. I hadn't really questioned that it would be something else.
I'm not entirely sure. Do you think that your body is in... Wait a minute, let me back off.
Mm-hmm.
Listen very carefully. Do you think the body that your mother and father created for you is in harmony with the promises you made for yourself?
Well, I guess I really have to reconsider that. No.
So, all I'm saying then, before you make presumptions of that nature, the person that is discussing the dream with you must consider maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But no matter what you say, because you may feel comfortable, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is, that it fits your promise or that it is what you truly desire.
Okay, I just got one aside for you here. Since we're on the subject, I would like to just address this at this point. Back early days of when I got into Forever Loom, we talk about you're creating your next life right now. You created the body that, you know, you have from how you lived your past lives and stuff. Is that still, I guess that could still play. Maybe I didn't live as I truly desired in my past life.
That's all right.
Okay, I think I got it now. Yeah.
And the point of it is that, as I've said, if you want to continue and you want to continue as a resplendent being, then you must live as a resplendent being now. You can't wait and hope for the best. Because the best otherwise is just going to be more of the same.
Right. I see that. Especially if I realize now that there's a default that I'm living, I'm more likely living that than I thought I would have been.
Good. That's what we're talking about. That isn't bad. It's kind of like your life preserver. If you don't make the choices that you truly desire, it's not sink or swim. It's swim or float.
Yeah, but it does just give me reason to question my natural tendencies.
That's right, because your natural tendencies, it's kind of like people who advise you to find out, let's say, what you're talented about and what you're good at, and then go for it in that regard. But just because you're good at something and normal and natural at it doesn't mean that that is what you should do.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Interesting. So really the body that my parents, in a sense, created, that would be even the body, the way they were living, not necessarily the life they desired to hand on.
But it does give you access to greater choices than you normally had. If your body was your body, and et cetera, right from the get-go, you'd be going around your own circles.
Yep, got it.
Okay.
I'm starting to understand this a bit. Okay.
Next line.
Okay, so I was going on reading, and suddenly could not read the bars.
Okay. What might that
sound? So I'm going along reading my, how I've lived my life, and suddenly, for some reason, now I can't read. I can't read the, I can't read the what I was reading before, for some reason.
So, what does that mean? What might that mean? Excuse me.
Well, it might mean that, that's a good question.
You see, it doesn't do any good for you to repeat the dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to make an association to what I've been using to read my heritage, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, maybe I can't use that anymore. I can't read that anymore.
Oh, okay. So, then maybe what you thought all along was the comfortable, the right, the promises, the normal, the natural. Maybe all of a sudden that's not so normal and natural, or you can't see that as being normal and natural.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just thinking maybe what I was using as the source of that information that would tell me.
Okay.
Sort of fails me. It fails me at a certain point. Maybe that's not really the source of
but
the
what
information
you were,
after all that
what,
I had access to.
What you were using as the source was whatever was normal and natural.
Yep. I think so.
Maybe it's not so normal and natural anymore.
Perhaps not. Well, I've only got two lines to resolve this thing, so gosh.
Go.
Okay. Well, the reason I couldn't read it was the next section turned from left to right, and it was positioned up to down. So I guess I'm looking at that. You know, I guess I'm reading along left to right or right to left. For some reason, images, I think I'm reading backwards left to, or right to left. But whatever it is, all of a sudden the whole bar structure is turned going up and down.
Okay, what might that mean?
Well, I guess it's no longer tracking. Okay, just my first impression is it's no longer tracking a linear timeline of, you know, present in the past. It's now starting to track a, what do you want to call it? I don't want to use levels. I know you don't like the term levels. Or other, on another, it's tracking on another plane. How's that?
If I ask you this question, what do you really feel or sense your life is all about?
I really feel or sense that my life is all about expressing some idea or vision or desire that I've had for a long, long time, maybe before this life.
Okay, what was that desire, do you know?
Well, it's always been a little hard for me just to come up with on my own, but I seem to really feel that I'm on track with it when I'm showing people to their fineness and I'm talking to people as, you know, individual or in groups.
So, could it be this mix up in, or backwards flowing upside down or whatever, it is a way to then get you off of what you have used and followed before and get yourself onto what you really feel or sense about yourself and your life?
I think that could make some sense, yeah.
So that would mean then that all it's doing is the old ways, the old patterns is still there, but can you take your eyes off of, will make it so that you can't even see your old ways of tracking this, such that you have to search then for a new and different way of seeing or imagining or feeling or sensing or knowing yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like you've always said before, take everything we've returned and learned and turn it upside down or whatever, but I often feel like in readings, it's like all the information, all the data is still there, but it's positioned or shown in such a way that you never saw it before in that way, and it all works.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that, you know, sure, maybe it's still music to read, but definitely not the way I've been reading it.
So the way you thought it was before may or may not be true.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but maybe it's not the way I want it to be true, or not the only true for me.
No. No? Data and information is there. True means you put the data and information together.
Okay.
So true is the way and the manner, and you've put the data and information together.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that the events and occurrences were wrong. It merely means that maybe you put the events and the occurrences or memories together in a way that is not what you truly desire.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, I go with that.
If that's true, what then does that offer you?
It offers me that I can put things together according to what I truly desire rather than what I've done traditionally.
So, that means you can put your past experiences and events and the things you've done together in how you desire, not necessarily as you would say the way they were?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly that was always one of my big concerns, was that I could make up any old damn past about myself, but was it true?
But the point now we're saying is, even in terms of events you've done in your life that you think you understand, you can have the same events, the same occurrences, everything be absolutely the same, and put them together in an entirely different way.
Yep, that's true.
Is it possible that if you decide to live in a different way, they are automatically put together in a different way and make sense?
Yeah.
Is it possible then that means to live anew, you don't have to change everything in the past or feel that the past drags you down or holds you back because that's the way it was, therefore that's the way you are?
Yeah.
It means would mean then that you're still free to be however, whoever, whenever, and when you do that, the past will change to accommodate who you've now decided to be.
Okay.
Is this okay?
Yeah, so I really don't have to go back and fuss with my past. It just will happen as I live now.
So then it doesn't matter at all ever that you have to then change the past or make amends or do things over again for the past in order to accommodate you today at all.
Right.
Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Sure does.
Now, I'm adding to this because on this thing that one symbol and another symbol and another symbol, I'm trying to weave it all together into a story that makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's meaningful to me today. I get all this.
Okay, next line.
Okay. All right. Next line is, I had to turn or orient my entire self up to down to read more. And that's the end of the dream.
Tell me that last line.
I had to orient my entire self up to down to read more. To read more.
Okay.
That's the end of the dream.
You want to deal with that?
Yes. Reorienting my entire sense of myself, of who I am and where I come from and what I'm about. But then I guess I'm a little concerned that it's to read more, then it sounds like I'm still reading.
Before you said in order to read some more, you got to deal with turn from top to down.
Yeah, I had to turn my entire self up to down to read more. Up to down, I got to deal with that. I'm thinking of, higher, lower, I don't know, heaven, hell, stuff like that.
How about turning everything upside down?
It doesn't say that. It says up to down.
What's wrong with upside down?
Well, what's wrong with it? I just want to make sure I'm not leaping to something that's not in the dream.
Well, no, I'm just saying, what about that? I didn't say you had to. We can talk about your dream.
Oh,
we don't, okay. And we haven't imposed on the dream. I just said, what about upside down? How about turning your beliefs and attitudes and et cetera upside down?
Yeah, it's definitely something I've been thinking about for a long time. I haven't really taken the step to do and to really evaluate my personal body, self, and life in a higher regard, you know. If I turn all upside down, then it's not...
Well, yeah. Then why don't we just say in an entirely different regard?
Oh, we can say that, yeah, sure. I was just saying higher because the way I currently orient everything, it's kind of like, you know, still the draggy end of a greater self.
Sure, but I don't necessarily disagree with that, but then maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
And maybe you still...
Right. Maybe higher or lower in any respect is still the same problem.
That's just what I'm saying. If you turn it upside down in that form, then you're maintaining a different, still different form of higher or lower, you haven't accomplished anything.
I got you. Good catch. Okay?
You okay with that, Patrick?
I've got a slightly different image working here, and I want to correct it.
Okay.
That, going back to the insipid, if it, Andrew wants to know his heritage, where he comes from. There's heritage. How about that? He's got to reorient everything from up to down. That if he wants to know where he came from, he has to know both, or he has to link his physical life and his eternal being life.
He has to what?
Has to link.
Oh, link.
His physical existence and his eternal existence?
Well, upside down doesn't mean link. How about living the concept of an eternal being rather than merely a moment-by-moment daily being?
Yes, that's more accurate with expressing what I was thinking of.
Then change the context of your beliefs and understanding and the way you're living.
Yeah.
What does that feel to you, Andrew?
Oops, that feels...
I shouldn't have said feels. I really don't like that.
Yeah. It makes sense. It's to me, it sounds like good food for thought right now.
All right, then let's assume that what as a starting point would you be willing about yourself to turn completely upside down in terms of a belief?
That I'm not a personal being trying to get in touch and live with my internal being, but that I'm two living together.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, currently the image I have had of myself, like historically, has been I'm a personal being and I've been trying to access, get in touch with, and become more of my, like an eternal being, one or the other. What I'm suggesting now is a different for me would be to live both together.
Yeah, but you're doing the same thing that Patrick did, and upside down doesn't mean link them together.
Nope, doesn't mean link them together.
So, as an eternal being, rather than focusing on your personal self, do you suppose that your look at life and yourself and what you're doing or not doing, from an eternal perspective, how would things change?
Well, I mean, first of all, I guess everything would be. I'd have a bigger feeling, like it's like the room would get huge and I'd have a greater sense of space and time in my life. What I'm doing each moment would have a bigger context for what it's all about for me and its meaning for me in my life. I think far too often I get caught up in the details and I lose that.
Okay.
Or I don't even have that.
Then.
So when I step into eternal shoes, I guess, and when I see both living together and in communion, or, you know, as best I, you know, understand that working right now, I definitely have a sense of a greater meaning in everything that's going on than I sense just in the details of the moment.
Okay, let me read the first paragraph of tonight. No matter what you believe or think about yourself, or think about life, or think about people, or think about even the world around you, you are a resplendent, illuminated being. Regardless of your attitudes about spiritual matters, you are resplendent. Who's coming through? Somebody's open. Despite your words and actions, you are a resplendent being. In spite of what has been declared for centuries, your desires clearly reveal your resplendence. And your resplendence is clearly revealed in every conflict and experience. Yet despite all of this, you do not seem to realize or accept yourself as a resplendent, illuminated being. And in what way might that relate to your dream?
I mean, I think that makes perfect sense of my dream in the sense, I mean, I think it fits closely with what my dream is saying. I mean, have I related to myself as a resplendent being? No. Have I been looking into all kind of parts and aspects of my past to understand myself? Yes. I mean, would my heritage make sense if I saw myself as a resplendent being? Maybe in a whole different way, yeah.
Okay. Then what might what image does a resplendent illuminated, from what I said, what image comes to mind when I refer to you as a resplendent illuminated being?
From what you said.
From what I said.
I don't have that image from what you said.
Okay. From anything you want to get it from, what does that image mean to you?
I guess I picture myself as a... I picture a body, and I picture like... being like what we used the word the other week, adorned. I just picture like an idea, a being that's suddenly present because of my body, and the illuminated part is I'm aware of that as my complete resplendence of who I am.
What does that mean? I mean, if that's true, then...
that's the image I have right now.
Okay, then what are you going to change?
You know, I think that I would change the belief, the understanding, the concept I have of what I am.
What does that mean?
It means, okay, good question. It means of, instead of being a individual, personal, unenlightened, you know, person going from day to day, a fully realized, you know, an aware, eternal being in form, walking the earth, doing what it does, doing what I do, doing what I want, actually. How's that?
I don't know. I'm asking
okay,
you.
I don't know. I'm just trying to... I'm going with that gut feeling here. That may not be the thing to do, but that's what I think.
So, is resplendent being good, better, best?
No, but it's fun. It's exhilarating.
How would it be exhilarating, but not good, better, best?
Well, I still think it's got, you know, aches and pains. It still has to eat and, you know, pay the bills and do all that stuff. But I think the sense of what's going on is more profound than just, you know, going through day-to-day life. There's a bigger sense of being realized and expressing something.
So then it's not a matter of realizing what's going on, but realizing who you am.
then yeah, that becomes the thing. Definitely becomes. I think that is what it's all about there.
Even if you screw up, then I said it's clearly revealed in every conflict. And even if you screw up, you are still a resplendent, illuminated being.
Yeah, I'm still, what did you say? Discovery? No.
You're still a resplendent, illuminated being.
Right. That's true.
If you have a crappy attitude, you're still a resplendent, illuminated being.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Right.
So
I am still a resplendent being regardless. The question is, does that discovering who I am make the illumination part of it? In other words, I'm resplendent, whether I'm, like, good attitude or bad attitude.
Then what?
But if I'm in each moment understanding or realizing, I'll say that, realizing who I am, how I truly desire to live and living that, then that puts the meaning to everything, the illumination to everything.
Oh.
The bad attitude.
If that's the case, then you would find that your heritage in that regard then illuminates you. We're going back to the dream now. That would mean that as a resplendent being, whatever you discovered about yourself would be the background or the heritage or the foundation of your resplendence, would it not?
I guess so. I'm a little hesitant to get into that habitual thing, but yeah, I think so.
Why would you be hesitant?
Well, just because I don't know if by saying yes I'm getting into it's following my habitual, what we were talking, default self again, but...
No, your default almost entirely is your emotions and your feelings. You live those and what feels normal, natural, good, etc. is what you are, and it feels in harmony and in sync, and etc. And you've made that a default heritage. But now if you are always sensing yourself as a resplendent being, then the same lives would validate and affirm your default self. The same lives would affirm and your resplendence as well.
Okay, now I think I know what you're saying then. Okay.
That means that every action that you looked at as a failure or a problem or a difficulty or a didn't work for me or oh boy that was a lousy thing, which was before, that was confirming your, let's call it, non-resplendence, you see and live yourself as a resplendent being, the same events, the same past events, will affirm and confirm your resplendence. Is this okay?
Yeah, I think so. So I see that before, I guess I thought I had to go and fix all those problems of the past, whereas now, being a full revelation of who I am, there'd be nothing to fix.
And they wouldn't be anything necessary to fix or make amends for either. Even
right,
if you hurt,
necessarily, go ahead.
Even if you hurt someone, etc., you would not then, in essence, have to make amends for that.
Right, and I guess I get the sense that it doesn't necessarily mean that those things are the answer to how I am and who I am and how I must express. It just says that that is a revelation. I can get that,
and it reveals your resplendence.
Yeah,
and it confirms your resplendence.
Right. Now I can do anything I want.
How about you see somebody and you're mad at them? What does that say?
Mad at them?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's revealing something about my resplendence. Maybe that I'm mad at something about myself for forgetting my resplendence.
Ah, you see? And it's that simple in that regard. You know at that moment that the discontent that's going on is revealing that you have left or lost or forgotten and are not living the resplendence you truly desire.
Right. So every time the kitchen's messy and Sally doesn't like that, it's just an issue of resplendence showing forth. She's laughing. Okay.
But it tells you something about her resplendence, does it not?
Well, that's a fact.
And when you get upset because she told you again, that tells you something about your resplendence, does it not?
Yeah, but I never get upset about that.
Yeah, hell you're not.
Just having fun with you. Go ahead. I get it.
So are you willing to accept that resplendence is not divine, nor is it mystical?
Oh,
and
yeah.
That it is not in any way superior.
That's really interesting. Okay, yes.
Then what might it be?
Revealing.
Of what?
Of yourself. But not just yourself, but of your, what do you want to call it? What's the word we're using? True self?
Whatever.
Patrick liked your true nature.
Okay, let's assume that. What might your true nature be?
Your true nature would be the...
No, wait a minute. I said might be. Let's give you some wiggle room here.
Yeah, it might be the way and the manner you truly desire to live.
Oh, so then your resplendence as well is a choice of how you will express your resplendence.
I think so, yeah.
So there's not a standard of good, bad, right, wrong, superior and unsuperior. Hell, there's not even a standard of desirable and undesirable in all of this, is there?
No, I guess not.
So then resplendence is like a measure of yourself at all times.
Okay.
I mean, if that's what you choose to be and live.
Well, you say a measure. That's why I'm hesitant. I might go with a...
All right. Let me go to Pat. If I say measure, how do you think I might mean measure in using it that way?
I think it's the only thing that I can think of is that that my discontent is a measure of my living outside of my resplendence.
Okay, but then what does resplendence have to show you?
It'd be the absence of discontent.
It's what?
The absence of discontent.
Oh, I see what you mean. No, I didn't mean it that way. Okay. Can you understand that you could be living and never discontent, but not really living the self and life you truly desire?
I think I can I can see that. Yes.
So then maybe resplendence reveals the self and life you truly desire, not rather than just not discontent in the moment. And then I am whatever I am at the end of my life, or etc. I was never discontent. Well, you could be such that you are never discontent, yet never be your own resplendence or what you truly desire to be.
How would I know that?
What?
How would I know that I am living my resplendence?
No, I didn't. We're not asking that yet. I'm asking you, what might a standard of resplendence indicate?
Living as I truly desire.
Okay. In the moment?
Every moment.
In every moment? Could I live as I truly desire in each and every moment and not discontent myself and not live my resplendence.
I don't have a clear answer to that because I'm sensing that I don't have a very useful or functional picture of resplendence.
Let's say resplendence is what you said you were going to do before you came into this life. Let's just call it that. If that's the case, could you be living in the now, in the moment, every moment, from get-go to got there, and never be discontent, and yet at the same time never have lived your what you truly desire?
Yes, that's entirely possible.
So then the point of it is, do you want to live in the now, right moment by moment, and not be discontent or whatever, and que sera, sera, whatever happens, happens? Or are you willing to then decide what it is you want to be and live, and then in that regard use discontent to measure whether you are living as you truly desire,
so
in an eternal way?
I'm sorry?
Living as you truly desire in an eternal way.
Sure, that seems to have a lot more pizzazz to it.
So, then all the discontent does is keep you sort of on track, sort of in harmony with yourself and your life, but that still doesn't necessarily in the long run mean that that's what you would truly desire to be eternally. Reasonable?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
So then your resplendence would be, let's say, an example or showing of what it is you would truly be willing to be and live eternally, and then your discontent as to whether you are doing that or not doing that.
Yeah, I can see that. Yes.
So content or discontent then guides you either as an eternal being or as a personal moment by moment in your face today, here today, gone tomorrow guy.
Yes.
You okay with that, Patrick? Andrew?
Yeah, I just got one question. It sounds like in that last little segment between you and Pat, there was a slight change in the way you used the word resplendence, whereas moments before we were saying resplendence is everything, and then we started using it more to be a particular as you desire. Is that true?
I was using resplendence in terms of eternal rather than just in the now crap.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just heard a difference in the way it was being used. I just want to make sure I understood that.
Well, tell me the difference of the problem.
Well, I was just, it's not necessarily, well, okay. I was just thinking as, in the last section we were saying you can have a crappy attitude or a happy attitude, and either one is resplendence.
No.
And then we were talking.
No, I didn't say that. I said, and you are still a resplendent being.
Thank you. Oh, okay. I got it.
So you can have a crappy attitude and do all these stuff, but you would still be a resplendent being in that, as you said yourself, promises you've made and decisions you want. The question is, do you want to live as you want to live eternally, or moment by moment?
Eternally.
Patrick?
Eternally.
Then is it not reasonable to assume, gee whiz, that if you want to continue, if you want to live eternally, it seems like you should have that as your guide today?
That's reasonable, yes.
Yep.
Because otherwise you're just hoping that, well, if it doesn't turn out too bad, if I don't mess up too badly, I'll have an eternal self. Whatever that's going to be, I guess I'll have another life or something will go on. And that's a default attitude, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we either go on or we don't. And if we go on, well, fine, I get it. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm suggesting that by choice, as a privileged being, as I've said before, in that regard, you can choose how you are want to be and live eternally. So resplendent then is essentially that choice, is it not?
It is.
And living resplendently is living that choice.
That's all fitting together for me now.
Is that okay?
Yep.
So then, in that case, then the resplendence in that regard is both the essence and the ultimate aspect of yourself. Or the ultimate, what's the word I'm looking for here? Ultimate?
Penultimate.
Yeah,
penultimate.
Okay, penultimate of yourself.
Penultimate is just short of ultimate.
Okay.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just beyond ultimate.
So did I.
The other way.
Okay.
Okay. So it's the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
So resplendence is the Alpha Omega. Beginning and end.
Yep.
You said it, and in living that, that is your end as well. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Seems to make sense.
So then the question is, wouldn't it be nice to see or know or understand your resplendence?
Yeah, it would help, because this body stuff can be confusing the issue.
So your feelings and emotions and daily activities and all of that can actually mask out or mask off your awareness of your resplendence. So, let's ask you this question. Where do you suppose you lost or abandoned the very essence or resplendence of yourself, and why?
Well, I guess I'm thinking it was somehow when I decided to pick up and live languaging again, and the why was so that I could understand and get along and do life, I think, or I thought at the time.
Well, is it possible then that, let's say in a virtual situation or in your mind, you could think or plan to do this and want to do that, and that's okay, and etc. But when it comes push up against shove to put that into your life, beliefs, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, and everything get in the way.
Yes, I can see that.
So, is it possible then, like I've said before, that your body illustrates then that your neck is the restriction of putting the images you have of yourself or desires into the body of your life?
Yes.
Is that okay?
It makes sense. I mean, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, I mean, everything in the physical sense seems to limit or restrict you, does it not?
Does.
Is it possible that the purpose of yourself in life is to embody your ideas or adorn your ideas or bring them fully into expression without their being limited?
I guess so, yeah, but I was going to go slightly with a different take.
Go.
What?
Go.
But maybe the purpose of the limitations was to, in this particular lifetime, help me or guide me or get me to particularize these sort of concepts that I have in sort of a limited way, so that I could see and live them in a particular. I'll go on and live another particular later on.
Who in all of the universe do you think that set that crap up?
Set that crap up?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
We're gonna fill you with limitations, so that you can overcome the limitations and do the thing, maybe eventually learn how to do it and bring your or embody yourself the way you want.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a different take from what I was saying.
I don't think it is a different take. I think it's Catholicism to the eyeballs, and I think it's exactly what you said.
Okay, well, I respectfully disagree.
Why? All right, then tell me again what you said, because I missed it.
Okay, I am following a pattern of a body in life, okay? Let's say first you're a concept or a vague thingy thing, and then you take a form, and as you develop your form from zygote to fetus to child to, you know, adult, you are particularizing your body. The nature of your body is particularizing more and more and more along the way. That's what I was thinking. Maybe there was a reason for that.
All right, let's start off with who create the reason. Do you think the universe, by natural occurrences, created a reason for that?
I don't know, but it seems to be that I want to express in a particular way in my life.
Then I don't necessarily disagree with that. Then maybe you have created the limitations to restrict yourself.
I mean, I'm taking a different tack. I'm not arguing against what you said. What you said probably sounds better.
But the minute you give yourself that option, or that maybe there is a reason for this, and etc., you've given yourself an out. There's no reason for that. Now what? You may have worded the reason, set the reason, set the limitations, and etc. Life hasn't done it. Now, your only other choice is to say, well, God did it to me, or my parents did it to me, and all right, who are you going to blame?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to debate it here now.
I want to debate it right now. I want to debate it right now because it's the prime number one problem in our life.
Okay, fine. If we're going to look at life, okay, you pointed out that everything seems to be limited in life, right? Body and everything else.
I didn't say that.
What did you say? What was about limitations? Where did we take
what I said then, that we have set that, and the neck, or as in the descriptionary, says these are the limitations, that our mind is bigger than our body can, the neck is the limitations, so that we have to narrow down our images that we have in mind in order to put them in the body of our life. And I say that's not really true at all. We think that, and that takes on our normal way of thinking. Oh, I can think big, but I can't be that good.
And you're saying the body doesn't express that as a pattern?
No, I think we've set that a pattern, laid it upon our body.
So what would be a different looking at a bigger brain and a narrower neck in the way a resplendent being is living life that is not limited?
It means put everything together and express it fully and completely.
Put everything together and express it fully.
In other words, when you got it in your mind, you got all these things. I can do this and that and these things and those things and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Exactly, and that can just...
Then make up your mind what it is. Don't... endless, numerous possibilities get you nowhere. We create the limitations in ourselves, but I can say, I can do this or I can do that. What is it that you want to do?
See, now you're getting on to my point, which I said was a particularization.
Then to particularize it, but don't say then that it is necessary too particularized. No limitations is ever necessary to particularize anything. We set the limitations.
Okay.
Why do you say that so poorly?
I hadn't thought of it that way, that's all. I was looking at a particularization as a particularization, and by nature a particularization is
a limitation.
Defined and limited, yes.
That's right, but don't look at that. Why is it limited in that regard? Why is a particularization, and you're saying it's a particularization is limited because it could have been something else.
By nature, a particularization is particular, not other things.
So what?
I'm just saying that's what I was thinking. You're proposing something that I hadn't thought of, which is particular without limit.
I'm suggesting that particular includes the other things. It doesn't exclude them.
But you see, that's what I'm wrangling with here. I don't see necessarily how particular includes.
Particularizing something doesn't exclude the other things. It just merely, even if it doesn't include them, it hasn't excluded them.
You see, I guess that's the way my brain works.
Well, don't do that.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you are going to or want to consider showing people to their fineness, would you show them to their particularization?
The one they desire.
Well, then wouldn't you be limiting them? If you did that, would you not be limiting them?
Possibly. I mean, I guess not taking into account what you just said, I would say possibly.
Probably.
I guess, I'm not sure. If it's what somebody truly desires, if that's kind of like the promise that they made in this life to express, then maybe it wouldn't be an issue of limitation at that point. Maybe
now you're getting there. Good for you. That's exactly the point. It would not then be a limitation for them. The limitation comes when you start excluding things that cannot be. That's like a judgment, right and wrong.
That whole last part that you just talked into it, I didn't ever have that before.
Well, you give it to yourself.
Okay.
So what we're saying is no particularization is in itself a limitation at all. The limitation comes when you exclude certain things. You okay with that, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm following along very nicely, thanks.
No, but are you okay with that?
Yeah, and what I heard Andrew saying at the beginning of this latest exchange was that there is a purpose of becoming physical
and particular,
to be able to particularize within the limits of the body, and if you have to do that multiple times, that's okay.
Well, I was kind of getting at, Patrick, like the idea of like just one particular idea, or to crystallize one particular expression. Yeah, that's the one. That kind of thing. That was just what I was thinking.
But you're limited because you set that as a limitation, that I have to do this or this.
No. I want to do that. But my problem, I guess, I run into is when I start excluding everything else.
That's right, because this is the point. Listen very carefully. When you judge any form, you are only excluding.
Okay.
When you choose what you will do, you are giving yourself options, are you not?
I mean, yes, obviously the challenge I run into there is that in taking an option, I've excluded other things, and that's...
No, you haven't excluded. That's the point of options.
Oh, yeah?
Sure. The point of options, as I said before, is that you have not excluded the other ones.
Oh, I guess that's still getting through to my my heritage here. I haven't figured that out.
Okay, so then it would say, then it, maybe that's why the universe doesn't give you opportunities or possibilities.
Okay.
Why?
Why?
Why would it
do a damn thing?
What?
Because it doesn't do a damn thing.
No. Just follow what I'm saying. Why might it be that the universe, we're personifying the universe, why might it be that the universe does not give you opportunities or possibilities?
Well, I guess that would be in any number, it would be a limitation.
What does that mean?
Any number of opportunities or possibilities would be a limitation on
what else
you could express.
What else?
Well, I guess in giving you, it takes away your personal creativity, your resplendent creativity, how you want to express.
Oh, really?
I could make up to create how you want to express. Well, I mean, if there's options out there and I got to pick one, then I guess I'm not fully engaged my resplendent drivetrain.
Okay, then in that regard, do not, or would it not mean that all options or limitations in your life, then there would not be a value in that? There would only be a limitation in that?
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time? I'm trying to keep track of all this.
Is it, you were kind of praising limitations, maybe that'll guide you to a certain place. Now you're saying...
Well, I was praising limitations in the sense I thought there was a purpose in it that I wanted to guide myself to a certain place. So now I'm saying what?
But now I'm saying, don't you understand that when you have options, you do not choose what you want. You eliminate what you don't want.
Really?
Yes.
What about that damn dessert tray?
That's right. I've been trying to tell you this for 15 or 20 years. I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want that, I'll take that one.
I know, but the point was, could you ask us, could we not choose one without setting in an opposition or choosing against the others?
But that's what we're talking about right now. Can you not do that, but your habit mind runs to choose by negation? I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want that, I'll take that one. And so, if the universe offers you opportunities, you exclude. And the minute you start excluding in that regard, you create your own limitations. You limit yourself.
Okay.
You don't sound convinced.
Oh, it's a lot to take in. I mean, I just, like, this is kind of like a big part of how I've been living my life. So
I know, but then I've been talking about dessert trays for as long as we've known each other.
Yeah, that's true, but to me it's just changed the terms of the dessert tray, so I was...
How did I change any terms of the dessert tray?
Well, I mean, to me the dessert tray is like the universe giving me options, and I can pick one without making it that I've worked against the other ones.
No, all I did was show in the thing that your normal tendency for the mind, the whole purpose of that was that if the universe gives you options, I mean, it gives you like a dessert tray that you always choose by negation. And I was trying to get you to say, can't you decide yourself, your life, what you're doing, and et cetera, by what it is you truly desire and not by negation?
Yes.
And when you exclude something, and I've said that before many times, is that what are you going to do now? If you exclude it because you don't want it, what happens if tomorrow you need it?
Right. Always a good question.
Then I'm trying to say, are you willing to look at life and follow life in your resplendence ad infinitum eternally by what you desire, not by negation?
Yeah. Okay. So I guess that's one of the arguments for not choosing that is because I didn't want to lose my options.
No. Choosing itself destroys your options.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yes. This is Everett.
Huh?